What's up, guys? Did you know Skybook has given away five $200 free play prizes? All you have to do is sign up with skybook.ag, deposit $200 or more before December 31st, and mention code NBA1000 for a chance to win one of these prizes. Winners are going to be announced right here on January 4th. Now, if that wasn't enough, shot at 200. Skybook is also the home of the free half point, and that's a very, very cool promotion. You take advantage and move the line half a point in your favor for free. Normally, you got to pay for that. You've got to squeeze every penny out of these books. If you're not signed up at skybook.ag, you can just call them at 1-888-759-2665 or go to skybook.ag and tell them you want to use promo code NBA1000 to get in on the free play prize and the free half point.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. And we are in a bold calls edition, as always, on a Friday. I'm joined by Mr. Bear. What is up, Shot, my brother from another mother?
How much, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm licking my wounds from last night, but that's okay. We got a 10-game slate today. Get back on the horse and keep riding that pony.
Agreed.
So, yeah, this is going to be a very interesting podcast because you and I are both very, very aggressive DFS players by nature. We make calls. We stand by those calls. We agree with those calls, whether they work out or not. And one of the things that didn't work out last night was our call of fading Lonzo Ball in tournaments. Which you and I both did 100%. I had him on my sheet. You could do cash games, but because of the ownership, which we pegged, he was about 66%. We said to fade, and lo and behold, it had nothing to do with anything other than the fact that we know he can't shoot, and the usage isn't there for the most part, but he came out and started the night 3-for-4 from beyond the arc, and the rest was history.
Yeah, it's like I said yesterday, his shot falls, it's a different ballgame.
Yep. Yeah, we said it real early on when we saw that. You hit one, okay, fine. You hit two, I'll give it to you. You hit three out of your first four. This could be a bad night.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm glad you brought him up because, like we used to say when I was younger, we got some splitting to do. I've been a big Lonzo fan since we drafted him. Last night we saw why he was a number 2 draft pick. Last night we saw why Luke Walton constantly praises him and constantly is, fawning him, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing that we looked at is two things. First of all, we looked at the matchup itself, between him and Fox. We looked at the fact that most nights Lonzo's going to shoot, 2-for-9 or whatever it is, which he's been doing all year. So the shot fell. He clearly took the challenge and Fox also did really well, by the way. They both played really well. Fox was just like 2-for-12 from the field or whatever it was. He gets his shot going somewhat, then it's different ball game, right? But he might hit 60. He still hit in the high 40s without that.
Yeah, exactly. I think part of what made it so unique is that Moutier didn't have a bad game, but he didn't have a great game. You know, if Lonzo hits 35 and Moutier hits 40, then all hail the heroes of the DFS Army, you know? Look, guys, we do our best to kind of explain the reasonings why we say what we say. Some of our calls are not for the faint of heart. They're just not. We've got some today that we've already talked about that, and I will talk about, I've got a couple that I'll talk about on the pod, and then a couple I'll save for, you know, later on. They're just not for the faint of heart, some of these calls. But they're strictly for, you know, tournaments. Right. Like, we're not talking cash games here, guys. Like, if you want cash games, go to our cores for our VIPs, plug those guys in, plug the ancillary pieces in, and go. Every single one of my cash picks hit last night except for Kevin Knox. Every single one of my core hit except for Kevin Knox. I know a lot of your core hit, too. But guess what? Where everybody's worried about the Lonzo Ball call, I do think we also called going to Noah Vonleh and getting off the chalk of Kevin Knox.
That we did.
And he doubled up Kevin Knox, or more than doubled up.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I
mean, we could talk about Cornette being my core guy.
Yeah, we called Cornette later on in the day.
Like 11X.
Yeah, I mean, we were all over a lot of these plays, but the one that stands out is when a guy's 66% in turn. And look, guys, we're not trying to say that we're not taking our L. We're taking our L on that one. But we also know where we were coming from on it, and so we're trying to explain a little bit exactly how our thought process goes. After we get off the pod today, I'm actually going to do a roster construction video to where I'll show people kind of how I go through the motions of constructing a roster. And this will be on FanDuel, and then I'll do one later on next week for DraftKings. But it's one of those things, like, I know the risks, and if you're not willing to take those risks, then don't take it. You know, I don't say these things for you to have to do this. You still have to make the decision. And I feel like, you know, people misunderstood what we were saying when we said we aren't playing Lonzo Ball yesterday on the podcast. So I want to clarify, I'm taking my L. So those of you that think that we don't take our L's, look, I didn't cash one lineup last night. I didn't come close, you know, and it had everything. You know, I put Lonzo Ball in over Emmanuel Moutier in, you know, 70% of my lineups. Then we're talking a completely different roster construction. And, you know, I'm competing for a qualifying a Q seat. But I didn't do it. I made the call knowing what the chalk was going to be, and I lived with the results.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it's the truth. And it's also one of those situations, just to reiterate, because I was in the same boat, where, like, I played Moutier over Lonzo in one of my best lineups, and I think I hit, like, 340. Lonzo busts, that 340 takes first. On the flip side, if I played Lonzo instead of Moutier in that lineup, it's, like, over 30 grand. So, I mean, it's a situation where, like, when I play tournaments, I'm not playing chalk. Now, that doesn't mean 100% no chalk. There are some plays, like today, when Wall is not playing, I'm going to play Beal in tournaments. I don't care. That's good chalk. He's a monster. A monster without him, without Wall. He does everything for that team without Wall. So,
in fairness, Beal also shoots better than 32% from the field.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons, right? I mean, Beal's a legitimate true shooter. Pretty jump shot. Real pretty. But my point is, that's the kind of chalk that I'm playing. So, you know, you'll have a lot of Lakers chalk tonight, which we'll get into here, which I'm going to break down who I like and who I don't like and the reasons why.
Well, the slate just changed, so.
Slate definitely changed, yeah.
And it could change again a little bit later. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about real quick, John Wall was just ruled out. So we were totally not prepared for that because he missed shoot around due to rest. Like, not even due, and now he's being listed as he's out because of his heel. Like, are you serious?
He gone.
Jeez. Like, you're going to tell me the guy's going to miss shoot around due to rest, and then you're going to tell me that he's out because of a heel? Oh, come on, guys. Like, this is some Bill Belichick level injury reporting here. So, all right, so we're going to wing point guards today. Because I actually liked John Wall today. Yeah. Especially on FanDuel where his price was depressed.
Finally.
But, you know, now, all right, so let's start with point guards. Russell Westbrook against Phoenix. There's an underlying issue that we have to watch here. That issue being that, Paul George could be out with a quad. I'm waiting to hear from the Thunder beat on whether or not he is participating in shoot around, meaning Paul George.
Royce Young?
Yeah. Royce is my boy, man. I like Royce. He does a lot of good work for the Thunder. Anthony Slater used to be my boy, and they were boys together, but Anthony Slater pulled the Kevin Durant cupcake move and went to the Warriors, so.
Yeah,
Slater, if you're listening to this, I still love you, but I know you're from there, so it's not that big of a deal. I just had to give you a little bit of crap. So he follows me on Twitter, so I have to talk to him. Anyways, get back to the task at hand here. Every single site that I've pulled up so far, and for those of you that don't know, in order for me to kind of gauge ownership percentages throughout the day and everything like that, I pull up a lot of different sites. Pretty much every DFS site that I can think of that actually has anybody worth their salt thrown out NBA, whether it be advice, analytics, whatever. Russell Westbrook seems to be the cover boy for every NBA article.
Yeah.
If Paul George is out, if we get that word before lock, he's going to be like 98% owned, as he should be. If we don't get that word before lock, he might be 89% owned, as he should be. It's against Phoenix. He's got a positive matchup, obviously. Our N1 rating for him, which is something that you get inside the VIP inside the DFS Army VIP section with our research station, is absolutely just off the charts. It's the highest of the day. The projection is the highest of the day. I mean, we've seen what Russell Westbrook is like when it's just him. And now he gets to go against Eli Okobo, De'Anthony Melton, Devin Booker. I mean, this isn't Alonzo Ball chalk fade type of move. My first commandment is thou shalt not fade Russell Westbrook without knowing the risks. And I'm sorry, without George, I'm not even worried about it. He's just at 11.5, he's a lock for me, and I don't throw around that term loosely.
I mean, it's hard to disagree, you know, in that scenario. I think we're going to have to see. I mean, you know, you're not getting less than a 50 in that scenario. I mean, I think even if the game gets out of hand, he's why it got out of hand. So he'll get to his 55 and we'll be upset that he didn't get to his 70 because he sat because they're up by 25. But I don't think that's the case. I think particularly without George, this game's not going to get blown out.
Exactly.
I think people need to understand that the Suns are not crap.
No, they're playing very well. I think it's really well. Four out of the last five.
Yeah, they were at three in a row for a little while there, and then they lost a tough one. But yeah, I mean that they're playing really well.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know what getting your best player back can do for a lineup and a rotation, and it's amazing. These guys, like, there's history here with these teams. I don't, like, we're about to play a home and home with both the Suns and the Mavericks. And both of these, like, these are dogfights, man. Especially when we go to Talking Stick. Like, Russ has been thrown out before the half, before there. He's gotten two tees. Now, this was because of the refs, but he's gotten two tees in, you know, less than 30 seconds before there and got tossed right before halftime. That was a couple years ago on New Year's Eve. I mean, Vegas and our friends over there at Skybook are really, really, really kind of thinking that this game, from what I'm telling or what I'm seeing, they don't think that Paul George plays tonight.
Say it again?
From what I'm seeing and what I'm kind of understanding, they don't think that Paul George plays tonight because there's no reason that the number three team in the West should, if Paul George is playing, should only be a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
So well, kind of reading into that line a little bit.
So I thought the same thing, but at the same time, it also may play into some of what we talked about, that they're healthy again, Phoenix, and they won 3 out of 5. So I mean, and they're playing at home. I mean, there's a lot to factor into that. I think it's still 6.5. It's not like it's a, you know, 1.5 or 2-3 point spread. It's still 6.5, which is still a large amount. When you consider, you know, like Miami over Cleveland by 10, right? I mean, that's like, okay, they're going to beat the crap out of them. But, I mean, and you and I both know OKC does not blow teams out. It's just the way, I mean, they've done a little bit more than they have this season in terms of blowing teams out, but which is still not much, right? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
And that's just been a reflection of their defense, which Paul George is a huge, huge component of that. So, I mean, yeah, it's one of those, it's a great, great opportunity here to kind of stack up that game. Let's talk about Kemba Walker here real quick. Going up against Brooklyn. He's back home. This is a home and home series for the Nets and Hornets. He just put up 53 against them. $9,800 is a tough price to pay when I've got the options down below him and I've got, you know, Russ above him.
Who's below him?
Kemba Walker.
No, who's below Kemba?
Oh, well, you've got Derrick Rose. You've got
Spencer. No, meaning on your list of point guards that you like, who do you have right below Kemba?
Right below Kemba?
Yeah.
Derrick Rose.
Okay, so you're talking about a difference in $2,300 between your second and third point guard. So that kind of shows you here that considering Westbrook's matchup, considering Westbrook being touted all over the industry, considering, you know, we might get Paul George news prior to lock, Kemba's going to go untouched. He is. He's going to go untouched because you're going to have people going Russell Westbrook and then people going either Rose next or, you know, Dinwiddie, who just came off a big game, Van Vliet, who's good value, Dennis Smith Jr. is coming back in. JJ Barea, who's people like to play, particularly versus New Orleans, Gilgeous Alexander. I mean, and I didn't mean to go over all the guys we like, but You know, it's a situation where I think it's going to be Westbrook or bust for a lot of people, and I like playing Westbrook and Kemba in the same lineup.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'll have a couple tournament teams with that little pairing as well. You know, we talk about a lot, you know, paying up for both point guards is something that we love to do, especially in tournaments. It's very, very, very difficult for me. Like, he's a guy I'm going to do it to be different. He's not a guy that, you know, is making it into a lot of my builds as far as a main cog, I should say.
Yeah.
I love the move to be different in tournaments. You know, because it gets you, especially if some of this value does keep opening up, it does get you into a different type of player pool, because if you're going Russ and Kemba, you're not going to be able to play guys like Anthony Davis and guys like, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Drew Holiday. You're going to have to sacrifice somewhere. And so playing both Bradley Beal now, who we'll talk about here in a little bit, you know, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to go to guys like Jeff Green, Dennis Schroeder, Josh Hart. You can get a Kyle Kuzma, Karl Anthony Towns, but you're putting a lot of your money into the point guard position, which is fine. It's great for tournaments to get off of that normal build and get away from the high low or the high mid that a lot of people are going to go for. So from a roster construction standpoint, it makes perfect sense in tournaments.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Spencer Dinwiddie. Oh, wait, hold on. Stop. Derrick Rose, point guards versus Atlanta. He's got the second best matchup on the board.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there. He is 7,500.
He's expensive, man, and he's going to be relatively popular going up against the Hawks. I don't have an issue if you want to play him in cash. I don't. I just, like, here's where I'm looking.
I don't think he's going to be popular.
10 games on the slate. I'm not going to play you unless I can legitimately look for you to go 8x or more. That's where I am in tournaments today. I don't see Rose doing that at that price.
Well, if you look at our GPP value chart, 74. Did I say 74? He's 74, right? Or 75?
74.
Okay. 74, he needs to go for 7x in order to hurt us when he's chalk as far as fading.
Sorry, he's 75. But yeah, same.
Okay, so he has to go for 6.75. It's still the same. He has to hit around that 7x mark in order for us to start hurting. Here's the problem. I don't think with Lonzo Ball, $1,000 cheaper, I don't think he's going to be that chalky. Especially, we've got Fred VanVleet on the slate versus Orlando. Thomas Santorowski just became value. He's 3,800. I don't think he's going to be popular even facing Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't adjusted the DS yet because the news literally hit when we were on the air. But I think this just made Derrick Rose, his ownership percentage drop.
It did. Yeah, it did.
So, Spencer Dinwiddie, are you going back to him after what he did? He's 7,400 now. He's got that price bump.
Yeah, I don't. Let's see, what's his price here? 74. Yikes. Yeah, it's a tough one for me. And the thing is, like that, he put up that game against the same opponent.
Yes.
But he got really hot, and he finished the game, and Russell didn't.
That's actually happened a couple times over the last handful of games.
It has. So that whole situation, though, concerns me because I want to play D'Angelo. But the problem is, again, then when he gets hot, he's not gonna hit over 25, 30, not even close to 30 minutes like he did last game. Last game was double OT, and he played like 26 minutes.
Right. Well, the problem with that is like with the Nets, Kenny Atkinson, they tend to go with the hot hand in the backcourt. Whoever's the hottest, that's who he's going to ride as long as they, you know, stay out of foul trouble and they don't screw up. And that's what Spencer's kind of done is, you know, he's made himself one of those guys that they can rely on down the stretch. Now, I will say this. He put up 60, like Bear said, double OT. He put up 29 shots.
Yeah.
I'll have to look and see what they did in regulation. I would probably, it's safe to say probably that, you know, it might not go into double OT tonight. Is it safe to say?
Yeah, I don't think you're
odds are in our favor. Odds are in our favor that that's not going to happen.
No limb going out there, sure.
I don't think he's going to put up 29 shots. I don't know if I like the price bump coming off of a double OT versus same opponent. It's kind of one of those game theory things. Whatever happened the last game's probably not going to happen this game for certain guys, and this is one of them. I love Spencer Dinwiddie. He was one of the first four players we talked about on the first full slate of the pod.
He was.
You know, and he let us down. I love the dude. He's from, you know, he's from the University of Colorado. It just, I'm glad he got his money and everything and he's performing. And they were having a conversation on NBA radio on Sirius about being the sixth man of the year. And it's close, but I don't think I can play him in this spot tonight.
Yeah, it's tough to do. I'm with you on that.
There's not a lot to love in the lower range below 6K. You're going to have a lot of guys go to Fred VanVleet, who's 5,500. Didn't they just play Toronto too? There's a lot of home and homes going on right now.
There's a lot. I think there's like three today. I was looking at it last night. I'm like, didn't we just see this matchup?
Yeah, we start one with Phoenix tonight, and then there's another one with the Mavericks as well. No, we didn't see this one. They played Miami. That's why. So they're making the South Florida rounds. But
So the two are Charlotte, Brooklyn, and then Denver, San Antonio. You just saw that.
Yeah.
So. And we also just saw Dallas, New Orleans very recently.
We did.
So those are the three that I'm like, we just saw these. But
I love the home and home type of series things. It makes it, you know, interesting for game theory from a game theory perspective. I hate the fact that like it happens and then there's a day in between. I would love to see home and home, like you come here today and we go there tomorrow. I understand why they did it. I'm a little selfish like that sometimes.
That's
so, but our buddies over at Skybook, they have this Toronto Orlando game at a -5 for Toronto. It's a total of 209.
That's kind of nuts.
That is
kind of nuts.
Very odd line for me.
That's kind of nuts to me too, man. That's interesting. Let's call it.
I wonder if let's go look at Toronto and their schedule here. Okay, no, they don't. I was about to say, I wonder if they're on the front end of a back-to-back and they're expecting Kawhi to sit. We do know Kyle Lowry's out. It's really hard to kind of pass up on Kawhi when that happens, except for when it's on a 10-game slate. Fred VanVleet, he's not the ultimate discount. I think he's a great play now for tournaments with everybody going to Satoransky on FanDuel. But I'm a little scared and he just came off of a dud too.
Yeah.
Like, he just put up a 19, and he was massive chalk in 38 minutes. And we kind of called that. We said play him in cash, and you know, fade in tournaments. I think I'm going to go to him in tournaments tonight to kind of pivot off of the Lonzo Ball, Satoransky chalk.
Okay.
So, I mean, Orlando's not that tough of a matchup. It's kind of neutral.
It's he's not, but...
He's going to get the minutes.
He's definitely going to get the minutes, yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike it.
Okay. Anybody else you like down here? We're going to kind of... We're going to kind of save some of this value. Satoransky is going to be, when I update the domination station and everything in the projections, he's going to start popping. So guys, don't worry about that at all. There's some other guys down here that I have a little bit of interest in tournaments on FanDuel for drop score candidates to get off of Sato. But I feel like right now you're going to see a lot of Russ Sato combos.
Yeah. I mean that's already where I am, so you know, it makes plenty of sense to me. I mean, that's nature of the beast.
I hate value like this. Oh yeah, because it's so hard to pass up.
It's hard to pass up. Like, early on, I've got Sato and Beal and Westbrook. I mean, I'm already playing those guys. But listen, that's, you know, you've got 5-6 other spots that you can differentiate yourself in. So it's not, you know, the way to look at it is one of two things. If you have the stomach to completely not pay those guys, play those guys, it's fine, because there are going to be nights where those chalk plays don't do well and your pivots do better, and you're going to win a boatload of money.
Yeah, there haven't been a lot of them this year.
There haven't been a lot of them this year. On the flip side, you can play, you know, you're never going to have it at like a 9 or 6 or whatever player chalk, right? You usually have 3 or 4. You can still differentiate. I mean, there's still more roster construction to be had. So you're playing like 4-on-4 versus 9-versus-9. You know what I mean? So, and you can play in tournaments, instead of using all 4 of those chalk players, play 2 or 3. I did last night. Unfortunately, the one that I chose not to play went up for over 50. It happens. But I'm doing something similar today. Like, I'm playing Westbrook and I'm playing Beal. I mean, hell nor high water. I'm playing those two because they don't have their, you know, Batman or Robin around. In this case, Paul George being Robin and Wall being Batman.
There would be some in the DFS community that says that Westbrook is Robin.
Yeah,
this year.
I get it. And this year, it might be right this year. But in terms of personality, it's definitely Westbrook who's Batman. But in that, you know, in terms of the better player this year on both sides of the court, I mean, I think as a non-fan of the Thunder.
Oh, it's been Paul George, and I'm a fan of the, but it's also, you know, some of it has to do with the fact that Russ isn't shooting well. Others, I think, has to do with the fact that he's growing as a leader and a point guard.
He's growing as a point guard, and you could see it because there were, I mean, I watch a lot of Thunder games too, obviously not as many as you, but I watch a lot of Thunder games, mostly because I'm rostering Paul George almost every night. But you look at the difference last season when he was bringing the ball up to court, it was head down, shoulder into your chest to the basket every single time. Whereas now, there are times where he's not even bringing up the ball.
Yep.
Like, there are times where George is bringing up, George is running point guard for the team. And there's times where it's Schroeder. And whereas last year, I want it, it's mine. And he's just going 100 miles an hour. He slowed down. And I like that. I think it's certainly better for the team. Obviously, given the record and given the standings in the Western Conference and, you know, given their winning percentage. So I think it's a good thing for them. But in terms of now, George.
And it's allowing him to contribute more on the defensive end as well.
Right. Right. So, you know, tonight, George sits. I'm playing Russell and I'm probably playing Schroeder. And yep. I'm probably playing Jeremy Grant. I'm playing 3 of them. And I'm not looking back. And I'll run it back with like a Booker and Warren or something.
Yeah, I'll talk about another guy that we can play as well.
Cool.
Okay, we're both on the same page again, and I know we've already disagreed with Luce on this one. Our general, single lineup hit for 86K after rolling off the couch type of guy. Talk about Lonzo Ball. I almost forgot about that, but I need you to do it.
So I shared in our chat forum, I shared a link to Lonzo's first kind of experience in the NBA was the barking Patrick Beverley. Beverley was hell-bent on, shutting him down and getting in his face. And
welcome to the league, Rook.
That's pretty, I got my kids here, so I can't say the word
he called him. Nope, gotcha.
But he called him the B-word, and he barked B-word, and then he called him a weak-ass B-word, and he was just, look, here's the thing. For those of you that don't know Patrick Beverley, it's not personal. It's just the way he plays. He's a pit bull.
The only time it's personal is when it's Russell Westbrook.
Even then, it's part of how you play. I think Russ takes it more personal than it is.
Oh, I think so, too, but...
Because, Russell doesn't like anybody talking to him because he's an alpha. You can't say anything to him. He's just going to nod his head and say, nah, to everything you say. It's just kind of the way he is. But point here is that's the way Beverley plays. And now, I heard people say, well, Beverley doesn't start. Well, he doesn't start, but he still is going to play 28 minutes. So... and if Lonzo starts to kind of dominate Gilgeous Alexander,
of course he will.
Guess who's coming in? It's Beverley, and the dominating will stop. Now Lonzo is just 6,500, and I feel personally that you're going to see it's tough because Lonzo and Satoransky are going to be your top point guards. Which is why I feel the Paul George news is even more important. Because people are going to say, oh, Westbrook is only going to get a 55 and Lonzo can get a 50 himself. Guys, in order for Lonzo to hit a 50, he needs that 3-point shot to fall. It's the only way. You take away his 3-point shooting last night, he doesn't break 50. He barely even gets 35, which is kind of what I expected him to hit.
Which means that we absolutely would have
crushed.
When you take the chalk and you add it to a 35, yeah, it's not going to kill the chalk guys, but correct. It's going to help the guys that faded.
He had value, and you're happy, but he didn't win someone a tournament,
right?
$100,000 like he did last night, right. Along with Iman freaking Schumpert.
That was nuts.
Pissed me off, man.
How did he come from? I sat there and I looked at him, and I was like, nah.
You know what else I did? I looked at him and I'm like, oh, he loves playing the Lakers. But I'm like, how am I not going to play Josh Hart, who also ended up hitting value and then some.
After one point first half, too.
Yeah, we got to let the game play out, guys. We got to let the games play out. He's crap. He sucks. He can't do anything. He's this. He's that. I'm like, let the game finish. But, I didn't have the cojones to go Schumpert over Hart. Or another guy that I like that did pretty well is Austin Rivers. He hit like 20. And then you and I, saved for our VIP members in our chat forum. We brought up Neil Aquina. And we got the biggest news of the day. Paul George is officially ruled out. Really hope they would have pushed that to later on in the day.
Yep, and I just updated the DS to reflect the... Let's see how quick our boys over at Skybook can adjust.
So what is it now, 6.5?
It was, 6.5. It is currently not on the board. Oh, there it is. It went down to 6.
Okay.
Quick.
I will take that now, guys, for those of you betting. Obviously, by the time you hear the podcast, it won't be live, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're about 40 minutes in, and we haven't talked about anything else other than point guards. And a lot of it's because the news keeps flowing, so we're just going to kind of breeze through the rest of these guys. Bradley Beal, Dennis Schroeder, I feel are two...
Got to play him, man.
Good point guard or good shooting guards. I think Josh Hart is out. Sorry. I just was reading something. Josh Hart is a good play again today, yes. Although I think he's...
Not going to be chalk.
Not going to be chalk. I think he's more of a tournament option. And he's going to see some Avery Bradley. But he's also going to see a lot of Lou Williams. So
yeah. Well, more importantly, Lou Williams is going to see a lot of him.
Right. Yeah. But
I love Lou. By the way, it's going to be hard to find a lineup that doesn't have, you know, like Beal, Booker, whatever. But I really love Lou here. Let's not forget. Again, it's almost every podcast. There's at least one or two of these scenarios. The Lakers traded him for draft pick, and it turned into a pretty good draft pick.
Wasn't it a second rounder too?
It was a second rounder, yeah. They had no draft picks going into that season, so that's why they needed to do it. And plus, you know, they had already given up, D'Angelo Russell. I mean, they did everything that they did was in order for them to be in a position to land LeBron James, which they did. So props to them, but that has nothing to do with today.
All right.
As far as Lou's concerned, Lou was like, you guys traded me for a pick? And by the way, he was having a career year when we traded him.
Yeah.
So he was, I mean, he was single-handedly keeping us in games, if not winning games for us. And they traded him. So I love Lou tonight. I think he's a great hammer game play, and I'll probably have some.
Yeah, I will too. I'm just, before the Paul George news hit, Russell or Dennis Schroeder was at a value already of 5.46 with 30 minutes.
It's about to hit, what, 6.5, 7?
Yeah, I'm trying to find out what my minutes is going to run right now. It looks like he's going to be up to 35 minutes, and his projection's probably going to jump about 7 to 9 points.
Yeah.
So... yeah, guys, the slate is changing as we're live on the air, and that's not fun for us to adjust, but we're going to do the best we can. Any other guys that you actually like tonight at the shooting position?
Shooting guard?
Yeah.
So one thing for everybody to be careful, Oladipo, he hurt his shoulder last game or tweaked it, whatever, last game, and that's the reason why we saw him play his minutes in the 20s, and he didn't. I mean, he still hit like over 30. But then he missed a practice, and so I'm very, very cautious there. He's definitely a little bit off. I think you can go now. We're talking strictly tournaments here. Go a little bit off the chalk, and some of the plays I like that are off the chalk. I like Zach LaVine. He's back. He looked fantastic in his first game. He's ready to play. He's back into the starting lineup. He's certainly the alpha of that team. I like DeMar DeRozan versus Denver. I like the pace. I like the fact that it's at Denver, which means less defense for the Spurs, which makes me like some more guys on the Nuggets, which we'll talk about here. So that's another play I like. Believe it or not, I actually like Jordan Clarkson in tournaments. I mean, if I'm paying the 6K range, it'll probably be closer to Lou Williams, but I think he's certainly in play. And then I liked not in the same lineup as LaVine, but I like a little Justin Holiday here too.
I love Justin Holiday tonight because he's going to be unowned. Nobody's going to play him. He's still not expensive. He's 5,300. He's been sitting there all year, and we've been playing him all year, and he's been smashing all year.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it's hard to pass.
Yeah, absolutely.
One more kind of, I don't know if I call it revenge, but kind of like a Dance's former team guy.
Please don't say it.
Oh, I don't like the matchup. It's horrible defensively, but Terrence Ross used to be on the Raptors, and you know, he gets to play his old team. So,
some drop score candidates at the position today, like you ever would want to. You got Josh Okogie going against Atlanta. I like him, close to 30 minutes at 4,300. Marco Bellinelli, 3,700, playing over 20 minutes a game. Jamal Crawford, obviously, against OKC. He always seems to, you know, come to play against us, especially now. And Malik Monk is an upside type of guy at 3,600. Don't forget about Chason Randle too. Now with Josh Hart or John Wall out, he's going to run some of those backup point guard duties as well.
And you can't leave out Langston Galloway.
He plays so many empty minutes. He's like a Tony Snell that
He's only that way because Tony Snell doesn't shoot. I mean, at least not well. Galloway, when his shot hits, the upside's there.
I get that, but I wasn't done. I was about to say he's like a Tony Snell that actually rebounds and doesn't look like an alien.
He doesn't look like an alien, so therefore. Trade the guy because he doesn't look like an alien. That makes sense.
No, not. That's not what I was meaning. Oh, man. Okay, so let's move on to small forward here. Kawhi Leonard is the top play at the position, obviously. And then it's whole bunch of – there's about a $3,000 gap between the guys now, so – Josh Richardson, 7,600 versus Cleveland. I don't mind him. Brandon Ingram, talk to me about him a little bit, please, sir.
So, in terms of pure matchup at this position, he's like the second best on the board. And it's really close to the first matchup on the board, just in terms of pure, like, DVP. I believe that tonight we are going to see a hobbled, slowed down, defended well Lonzo, and Brandon Ingram will be the point guard, the de facto point guard playmaker that I was expecting last night. Look, last night Lonzo doesn't hit all those threes. It would have been Ingram that was getting over 50 points. I'm going right back to it. I think he's in a great position. He'll have Gallinari probably on him. I like that. I target that. You know, those things are all in play. So I think for me, I don't necessarily know that I like Kawhi so much. I don't mind the matchup, obviously. It's not that I'm worried about that. I just don't want to pay over 10K for him still. You know, it was the same thing last slate he was on. And, you know, I don't think we think he hit 5X. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to hit 5X because he didn't hit 5X last time. I'm just saying I think you can get more value from guys like Brandon Ingram, from guys like Gallinari, from guys like TJ Warren. And we'll go down the rest of the list here who guys I like. But, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think you're going to get more bang for your buck in the mid-tier to value option range at the position tonight as well. It's just kind of one of those instances where a lot of people might not realize that one of the reasons why Orlando has been playing better is they've been playing slower so they can play defense better. They're not running and gunning like they have been over the last couple years, and it's allowed them to stay in games a lot more. Now, obviously, they've gotten better. They're a much, much better team, and a lot of that I think has to do with DJ Augustine running the point. He's brought the leadership back to that, and Vooch is having a career year.
That's the biggest part of it. And I'll also tell you this much. Vooch has improved on defense, which is not something we thought we would see.
I never thought I'd be able to say that.
Yeah.
So, It's not a cakewalk matchup. Now, I will say this, Kawhi's pretty much matchup proof, but mm-hmm. you know, and he does it from both ends of the court, mm-hmm. so he doesn't need to, you know, score 38 points in order to hit, you know, 55.
Right.
But he also doesn't need to he might not need to do as much if he gets some help from, you know, Van Vliet, from Pascal Siakam, from, you know, Serge some of these Ibaka. Ancillary, Serge Ibaka.
DeLon Wright.
Because Norman Powell's out because Norman of personal.
Out, yeah. So C.J. Miles.
So C.J. Miles.
You I know. Mean, they're obviously they're the best team in the East for a reason. It's not because of just Kawhi. They're also Danny Green. I mean, they've got, you know, I mean, he's not the alpha. I mean, he is in terms of the team's star, sure. But in terms of, you know, the alpha of the offense, like, he's not the only guy. They're very much an entire team. So yeah, I'm that's kind of where I'm leaning. I'm definitely riding the Brandon Ingram train again today. I'm hoping that he's not as high owned as he was yesterday. Let's talk about a guy that I'm pretty high on. And I just mentioned him here. That's going to be TJ Warren. I want to stack this game. I want to play Westbrook and Schroeder and Grant and Booker and Warren. I want to do that in one lineup. And in lineups where I do have Westbrook and or Schroeder and or Grant, I'm gonna have to run it back. Now Booker is 9,500. We didn't talk about Booker, I don't think, in the shooting guards, but Booker is an elite play. He's an elite play. But he's the most expensive guard on the slate because he's been absolutely destroying teams since he came back. Mm-hmm. He came back and he was like, yeah, you guys missed me? Well, here we go. And he's just lighting everyone up and he's got that little baby face assassin thing going. And he's just killing everyone. And I think between him and Warren, they're going to need to both show up to make this a game. Obviously, Ayton as well, but Ayton will have his hands really full with Steven Adams, who's also a good play, by the way. So I just, there's a lot to like about this game. I think people look at you know, some of the other games like Dallas, New Orleans, and Clippers, and Lakers and kind of, you know, load up on those. I'm okay with that. I'm going to have some of those pieces too, but I think this is the game that I'm targeting.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to save one of the, you know, benefits of being a part of the DFS Army is you get some of our VIP type plays, and I've got a couple out of this game that I'm going to save that you're probably not going to be thinking about. To be completely honest. So we're gonna move on from before I spill the beans on those to make sure that we don't give too much free stuff out. I'm trying to see exactly kind of what Skybook over here has done with this game. It's now off the board. So they're adjusting probably right now, but it's now off the board. So it had moved down to a 6 before they accounted for the Paul George news. So that's kind of interesting. As soon as it comes back up, we'll let everybody kind of know exactly what the deal is with that. So let's move on to power forward here. Anthony Davis versus Dallas. I mean,
not much to say there, man.
Yeah, Dorian Finney-Smith. Yeah, good luck. The only option that I think that Carlisle could end up doing is throw out Salah Mejri for like 10 minutes and try to hack the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Not that coaches do that anymore, but, you know, it could happen. That's the only way I see Anthony Davis being slowed down a little bit. Because Mejri is about the same size, and Mejri just wants to play, so he don't really care.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have Powell, you're going to have Kleba, you're going to have Sala. I mean, they've got a, you know, some bodies to throw out there. None of them that scare me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, possible.
Attaboy, Royce. Attaboy. Blake Griffin against Indy. He's had very good games against them in the past. I don't know, man, John Wall, Paul George both out, and I completely lose track of exactly how the roster construction is going to end up going for me. And I'm supposed to do one of those videos after the show. so we're going to have that. We're going to be able to figure that out together. Okay. So let's get back on track here. I've got a list of three guys here for you. I want you to tell me who you like the most and why. Kyle Kuzma, put your fandom aside there too, by the way. Tobias Harris and Lauri Markkanen.
I don't play DFS with fandom. That's why I win.
Very good.
Give me some Kyle Kuzma. Here's the thing. I brought it up yesterday. And it was very relevant. He basically has the most usage like by a mile, right? I showed the guys early or the members early what that usage was. It's ridiculous. I mean, he is the main focal point of the offense. Like, he's the number one scoring option. And if Lonzo didn't hit all of his shots, he could have hit 60. I mean, he was shooting threes, driving to the basket, posting up. He was doing everything. And he's going to probably have a lot of either Tobias Harris or Danilo Gallinari. Guys, these are good ball players. They do not play defense. Obviously, if I was out there on the court, they would lock me down. But I'm talking about in an NBA level, at the highest level of basketball in the world, they do not play defense. So you're getting a guy who is, let's say, 60% responsible for the offense in terms of usage, in terms of shots, in terms of, you know, being involved in the offense. How do you not play that against a team that doesn't play defense? In the last game of the night, in the highest total on the board. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me.
I would have to agree with you about 150%. I do like some Lauri Markkanen in tournaments, though, against Denver. There's, you know, obviously, or sorry, not against Denver, against Washington. Sorry.
Markkanen's playing Washington, yeah.
Yeah. I said Denver because I'm sitting here looking at L's and I see LaMarcus Aldridge right below him.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I do like Lauri against Washington. Obviously, that's a pretty good matchup, especially if Markieff Morris misses. We're gonna have more value kind of open up there, and it's gonna be a little bit different there. Montrezl Harrell versus the Lakers tonight. He's one of the guys I want to bring back that stack with. I love me some Kuz Montrez at the position, ping ponging. They just both play with their hair on fire. Jeremy Grant tonight is in a good spot as well.
Yeah. I like the value for Grant. Even more so now. Let's see. Where is the price at? Why don't I see him? Here it is. 5,700. Like you said, in a really good matchup. You know, he'll probably match up with some, he'll match up with some TJ Warren, probably.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, so I like that back and forth. For me, at that same exact price, I'm between two guys. I'm between Jeremy Grant and between Marvin Williams. Those are my two, you know, high 5K priced guys that I'm looking at. And I don't mind some Thad Young in that price range. Serge Ibaka is down to here. Oh, we got to talk about Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka spent a lot of years with the Orlando Magic.
No, he spent a year.
Oh, okay, just a year.
Because right. We traded him from the Thunder.
I remember he was
and
traded,
then he got yeah. traded that first year okay. to the so Raptors.
Didn't he not leave on good terms?
He did not want to go to the Magic at all. He wanted to win. He didn't want to go to the Magic, and he has long made it known that he did not want to be there. So, but they gave us Victor Oladipo, so
yeah,
who we turned into Paul George.
Thank you very much. Pretty good trade there, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, I think it worked out for everybody involved, including including Mr. Ibaka. So
yeah, no, it definitely worked out well. And so he's going to be playing in Orlando. He's probably going to get booed a lot. Just call it how it is. He's going to get booed, guys. Like, there's no way around it. So just keep that in mind.
Yep. I like it. I think I like Pascal Siakam a little bit more, but I do like it. Rodonyi's Kurux is now no longer a value option, guys. He's 6,300 along with Wendell Carter Jr. It's amazing. You go out and you put up a 28 in 23 minutes, and they raise your price $1,000. Yeah. Maybe more. Yeah. I think he was 43 at that point, or 44. Yeah. There's a couple guys down here that I like that we'll talk about as far as VIP guys. But we need to move on to centers.
All right.
Go ahead and talk about him because I love him. I know you do. But let's talk about Mr. Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, so, I mean, if ever a spot to play Cat, it's going to be here. He's under 10K. He plays the Hawks. I mean, there's a lot to like here. There is a lot to like here. However, he's not my favorite center. I think my favorite center here is going to have to be Andre Drummond.
What?
Yeah. I know. I've been looking at Drummond. Can we just talk? Can we just bring something up real quick that has been on my chest here for a while? So yesterday morning, I was like, I'm really dying to play Embiid. When I get that itch of a center early in the day, just let me play him. Because Embiid was a monster and put up over 60. And I got that itch. I'm like, I'm telling you, I want to play Embiid really badly. And I didn't play Embiid. And I'm pissed off that I didn't play Embiid. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying I'm pissed off that I didn't play him.
Well, that was yours truly. Because I was all over Ben Simmons. And I
wanted to play them both.
Well, I felt like in order for Simmons to do good, then Butler or... Then Embiid had to get rid of Gobert. And even though he did, it wasn't the way that I thought.
No, for sure.
So that was a misread by me for sure. And I'm sorry. I mean, I wanted to – no. If you want to go back, let's go back to this. I wanted all day to play Giannis.
True.
So we're even.
True.
All right. Let's talk about centers here.
But I'm liking Drummond. I'm having a hard time not playing Drummond. I think you know, Drummond is going to end up with like 30 freaking rebounds here. You know, I think I like both sides of the matchup. I like both Drummond and Turner. Like, I like them both. Not 1-2, but for me, it's going to be my first one's going to be Drummond, and then followed by Kat, and followed by Vooch. Those are my three top in order. And then fourth is a tie right now between Steven Adams and Miles Turner.
Yeah, those are my four or five. I will go back to Jokic against San Antonio under 10K. I like that value there, especially over there on DraftKings. Karl Anthony Towns at 9,600 is he's making a staple for being the cash game center. Vooch, obviously, without he's going to be dealing with a lot of surge and Pascal Siakam. That's going to be interesting. You know, indeed. Andre Drummond going against Miles Turner. I want to look at this history because I think it's been extremely one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
In Andre's favor, in Drummond's favor. And nothing amazing, but he's done very well, high of 50. So nothing huge, but, you know. Now on the other side, Miles Turner. Miles Turner sucks against Andre Drummond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nice to know. Hassan Whiteside versus Cleveland, 8K. He went through shoot-around this morning.
Yeah, it's tempting, but I don't. It's kind of ugly, dude.
Do you know why he's been off the court in the fourth quarter? Because I have a theory behind this.
Huh. We might have the same theory.
He's 3 for his last 35 from the free throw line.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's ugly.
We remember when Van Gundy used to pull. Now the rules have kind of changed, so they're protected a little bit more. But, you know, Whiteside's, when he's on the court, he's a main integral part of that offense. So I can hack him if he has the ball. And if you're going to tell me that you're going to be like 8% from the free throw line over the last like week and a half. Yeah, I'm going to. So there was a big thing that he was staying after practice yesterday to work on his free throw shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, shit, he needs to. But, I mean, at the same time, I think. Let me phrase this a different way. Let me phrase it in this way. At this moment, I'm off of him.
I need to see
if he is going to be 100%. That's the first thing. Second thing, even at 100%, he's a guy that you throw in some exposure to if you're playing multiple lineups, multiple as in over 50. Like if you're playing 10 lineups, I don't even put him in one probably. But otherwise, yeah, I don't, can't do it.
What about on DraftKings at 71 where you can play multiple?
Say again?
What about on DraftKings at 71 where you can play multiple?
For tournaments.
Okay. I tend to agree with you on that one. It's one of those things like he can't be my only center that I have exposure to. In a lineup, because if he goes out and he puts out, and I don't know what his price is over there on Yahoo or Fantasy Draft or anything, but if he goes out there and he puts up a, you know, 29 and three quarters, then ends up sitting the fourth quarter in a close game, then, you know, all of a sudden I'm looking at a guy that's got the upside that's not going to hit it. And I need more upside. And yeah. I tend to feel like on these flex sites is what I'm going to start calling them, where there's multi-positional eligibility and you can play multiple centers and stuff like that, then the centers tend to be a little bit underpriced as far as their potential. There's more profit potential there. So I can't have one of my guys in that position, like putting up a dead. So I need multiple Like, it's a multiple lineup type of play, but...
Sure, I'm with you there.
Thomas Bryant against Chicago?
It's hard to pass on because you've got Markieff doubtful. You've got Walls already out. I mean, they're going to need size and they're going to need size and they're going to, and let's not forget, Markkanen's 7'1", right? I mean, if he's not guarding Carter Jr. or Lopez, he's a very mobile and, you know, big. He's not one of these laboring bigs. Like, he shoots threes. Like, he dribbles. Like, he's going to need to be involved. He's going to see an uptick in minutes. He's going to play close to 28 minutes. He's the cheapest center on the board that I could play and not be considered him a drop scorer. So if I do want to pay down, yeah, I'll go there. Sure.
Okay. Let me ask you another question because I was all over him last night. More than I originally wanted to be. And then I got suckered into the chatter late, but, you going back to Zubox here?
No, I'm not, because what I saw was as soon as he started struggling, he was gone. Now Chandler sits. Yeah, maybe Chandler doesn't sit. It's a timeshare, and I can't. I need a center that's gonna play 30, not 24.
Yeah, at least a 6,500.
At that price, yeah.
So, anything else you got?
At center, yeah. Center here. I kind of like Dedmon here again. I liked him the other night. He blew up. I like him here again versus Cat. I got to see, is Len out still?
Alex Len?
Yeah.
I think he's doubtful.
Okay. I mean, they're going to need him to play 30. I mean, there's no way around it. He's going to have to play 30. Where are you, Alex Len? Yeah, I don't see anything. But, so I'll keep looking. But here he is. He's actually out. Back strain.
Yep.
So, I mean, Dedmon is probably the guy that I'm gonna play, you know, at the very, very bottom end of the mid tier. Like, if I'm not going down to Thomas Bryant, but I don't want to go all the way up to, you know, Drummond, it'll probably be Dedmon. Again, good spot. What is our friends at Skybook say this game looks like? Yeah, this game's got a 230 over under, guys. 230. That's, wow. That's higher than Lakers Clippers. That's the highest on the board right now. Mavs Pelicans is 229 and a half. Just so we understand, that's 230 is the highest. So I want exposure to that game. I mean, we talk about Cat, but which is in a good spot. We talked about Rose. There's other guys in this game that I'd like to target. I like Bazemore in this game too. I don't want to go without any exposure. And so if I'm going up to Beal and like Booker or whatever, I'm going to have some exposure to that game. And I think that exposure would be Dedmon.
Yeah, I agree. I actually really do like this line over there at Skybook. I think what I'm going to do is when we get done with the pod, before I put out my play sheet, my initial play sheet, I think I'm going to go call them and drop a couple hundred using promo code NBA1000.
What a baller.
And I think I'm going to place my first bet in a while. I don't know how Atlanta can go on the road and be anywhere within 10 points in this game. This might be one of those times where I load up a little bit on it and see if I can steal it here. Now, guys, this promo code ends on Monday. It's NBA 1000. You go over to Skybook AG, deposit $200 or more before December 31st, which I'm going to do today, and you get entered for, you get a chance to win a free or one of the prizes. Kevin talks about it on the ad read before, but man, Deadman against Cat is the matchup that we want. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're banged up down low makes it even better. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. So,
so just to make sure that we're on the same page here, Drummond and Deadman are my plays at center.
Yeah.
Those are the dudes I'm playing.
Yeah. If you show me a lineup with anybody else,
I'll have some Steven Adams. I can't get away from Steven Adams. I mean, that's, he's in a good spot.
Yeah.
I might have a little bit of Jokic. I mean, you know, I never play one lineup.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying. I'm just throwing stuff out there. So, all right, guys, that's gonna do it for us today. Bear, you've got notes today, right?
I believe so.
If you are part of our DFS Army VIPs, you will have access to my play sheet, Bear's notes. Luce's article is free to the public, already out, even though it shouldn't be, because he's too good. That's a great place to start. You have our first look out there, and then we have in-chat coaching, in-chat breaking news with pivots. Guys, this is stuff that you're not going to find anywhere else. It's one-on-one interaction with all of our NBA coaches. If you're not a part of the DFS Army, you probably should be. You're missing out a ton. So, all right, Bear, for me, for you, for the rest of the DFS Army, we gone.